This morning we are in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. Looking at verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We tend often to hear those verses at funerals because in and of their nature they are very comforting words. They are words that were spoken to the 11 on the last night before Jesus died. And oh, how those words bring out the perfection of the great God-man. When we consider what lay just ahead for our Lord. Here where any other man, even the most powerful of mind and kindest of heart, would have been so preoccupied with his own sufferings and anxieties. So much so that the idea of soothing the hearts of others would be a very far off idea indeed. No one but Jesus knew what awaited him. And even though we have read it and we know from the Word of God what awaited him, we don't know by experience or by depth of knowledge what he actually suffered for us. In less than 24 hours, he would suffer the torment, the hell, for everyone that he came to save. Past, present, and future. The Lord Jesus not only kept himself in control, but sought to assuage the fears and doubts and sorrows of the apostles. Instead of being occupied with his own scenario of what lay before him, he spent time comforting his disciples. In the darkest of hours, he concerns himself with their grief. The very ones who in a short while would desert him. He had in many places worked to prepare them for this time. Just for instance, in chapter 13, in verse 31. After Judas had left, therefore when he was gone, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I come unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, and a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. There are many things here to consider in light of our observance of the Lord's Supper today. For these words were said in light of the observance of the Lord's Supper. For this was said on the very night that he instituted it. And as we read this passage, there are some aspects of the Lord's Supper that come out to us and perhaps sometimes are not thought of. He begins with the statement, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And as he gives this command to them, he also points to what allows them to be able to keep from being troubled. And that is, you believe in God, believe also in me. The focus of faith frees us from fear. The first thing that we would see then, in regards to the Lord's Supper, is that there's a present. That is, there's a gift. The Lord's Supper is observed by faith. And faith is a gift of God through His Holy Spirit. You can't talk people into faith. You can't coerce them into believing. By grace, you have been saved through faith. It is a gift, not of yourselves. It's a gift. Believe in me, Jesus says. And when Jesus distributes the elements for the supper, he says, "This is my body, which is given for you." Given for you. Again, we have the idea of a gift being given for us. And what about that gift? Well, it's a gift that we receive by faith. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27, "Whoever therefore eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of our Lord." And so this first aspect that is necessary for receiving the Lord's Supper that keeps us from receiving it in an unworthy manner is to receive it by faith. To receive it without faith would be to receive it in an unworthy manner. And you'd have to ask the question, well, why would a faithless person even want to partake of the Lord's Supper in the first place? Certainly, to partake of it in a superstitious manner is void of faith and unworthy. I'm told that at certain airports, you can go into the chapel area that they have in some of these airports and you can partake of communion before you take your flight. Why not? Why not have that wafer and that wine before you fly? So you'll be safe. And while you're at it, make sure you get that rabbit's foot down in your left or right pocket, depending on which hand you are, so you can rub that while you're flying as well. There was talk that for a while at O'Hare Airport, they were going to have a vending machine that would vend the juice and the wafer in a nice little package. And you could take that and go before. So you could administer the Lord's Supper by yourself, to yourself. Because after all, isn't that the design? Didn't Jesus say, "Here, take this and go out back and eat it by yourself"? Superstition is another unworthy way. If I cannot see the gift of Christ to me by the gift of faith given to me, then I am partaking in an unworthy manner. Believe in God, believe also in me. You have believed in God, though you have not seen Him. Now, though you have not seen, as John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. They had this with Jesus, but now this aspect was now to be taken away from them. So they would have to believe in Him the same way they believed in the Father. As Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, speaking of Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So the Lord's Supper reminds us of great gifts. Not only the gift of Christ, but the faith to rejoice and to apprehend that which He did. And then secondly, the Lord's Supper reminds us of a place. As we read in our scripture reading just a few moments ago, the gospel tells us that Jesus requested and arranged for a large upper room to be used by them and His disciples. So it would take place in a special room where they had gathered. It was while in this place that Jesus said the words that He said in John 14 in verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. And so we observe this Lord's Supper in this place, not in a field, not in a cave, not in an airport, not in our individual homes, but we come together in this place, this sanctified place, this place, and when I say sanctified, I mean this place that is set aside for the worship of the Lord. It's a place set apart for the gathering of the saints, His disciples. In this place, we observe this supper. We are reminded that though not here physically, He has gone to prepare a place for us. And through this, we are brought to remember. And so there's a present, there's a place, and thirdly, there's a promise. He said, and if I go to prepare a place for you in verse 3, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord's Supper reminds us of the promise of heaven. Sometimes that's completely set aside and forgotten when we think about the Lord's Supper. That in this receiving, this partaking, there's the promise of heaven. He came, and He came giving His body and blood, what? For our salvation. And what is the final aspect of our salvation? But eternity with Him. He came to secure heaven for us. And how did He do it? By giving of His body and His blood. And by what we symbolize there in these elements. There is the assurance for the promise given in the fact that He came. And since He really came, we can also know that when He said He would come again, we can believe in that fully. And why is He going to come again? Well, He makes it very clear. I'm going to come again to do what? To receive you to myself, that where He is, we may be also. Our promise of heaven is here. And then lastly, it reminds us of a presence. We talked about a present before, a gift, but this is the presence. He says that where I am, there ye may be also. The elements reminds us of the presence of our Lord with us. We don't get into the superstition of Roman Catholicism that says, oh, well, the elements actually become the actual body and blood of Christ, that the wafer actually becomes the body of Christ by transubstantiation. It changes subject, substance magically as we partake of it. And as you take of the wafer, guess what? It actually turns into the body of Christ. And when you drink the wine, it actually turns into the blood of Christ. That's the Catholic doctrine of transubstantiation. The substance changes, transformed, trans-substance, transubstantiation. No Protestant believes that. Nobody can get that idea from reading the Word of God. But we do believe that the presence of the Lord here is with us. It serves to elevate the promise. That when there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am among them. And oh my friends, as we think about this, what is more a gathering in the name of Christ than when we come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to observe the Lord's Supper? Where we look once again at who He is and what He has done, and it becomes so very central. His desire to have His people with Him in His presence physically assures us of His presence with us here spiritually. In the same chapter 14 we've been looking at in verse 15, He says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, because ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." And then verse 18, that promise, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And so there, as we look at that, we have His presence, we have His promise, and we have the place. They all come together in this service that we continue to observe and will observe until He returns. Let's pray.